Amen. Okay, so I guess we're going to go ahead and talk about matters of the heart. once again, I really like to just point out just how Pastor has really, the Lord has been using him to be creative and coming up with the images of what the title is all about. And so when I looked at, when you look at this image, you've got the heart, and then you've got defibrillators, and it's representative of God trying to shock us in back into really reality, or shock us into really like almost like reviving our hearts. And so I love that picture, because it really does depict what God is really trying to do with his people. And so last week we talked a lot about matters of the heart as it relates to really, I had some questions I posed, like, you know, why do people have a problem committing adultery, and why do some people deal with fear and pride and destructive behavior? And I mean, it's just a whole litany of things that I talked about. And I started off talking about the junk drawer and how there's so many things in a junk drawer that we don't need, things that we hang on for whatever reason. We think that we're going to actually need it at another time. So we talked a little bit about that. This is just review right now. And I got to thinking, even with the junk drawer situation, there are so many things that we're carrying in our heart that's junk. I was thinking through, someone was talking about moving, and I was thinking through, you know, when we move, anytime you've moved, what do? You normally clean up, and, you know, there's a whole lot of trash that you gain, and but you're not trying to take the trash with you. So when you're moving, usually you're moving to another level. Well, God is trying to get us to go to another level, and he's getting us to look at what we have and then believe God for what we don't have. And in some cases, some hearts will need to be revived. Some hearts will need to be, need a whole new, you know, some surgery to happen where they need a brand new heart. And some just, you know, it just needs to be clean. This matters of the heart. The Lord really has placed it on my heart, because there's so many things that we deal with that really is coming from a place that we overlook so often, and that is the core of who we are, the inner man. You know, you got the outer man and the inner man, and we as Christians almost act like we have multiple personalities. What I mean by that is, we're one way at home, we're one way at work, and we're one way at church. And so, you know, and all three of those different actions, how we behave, how we carry ourselves at each of those places, is totally like night and day. And so the Lord has just been dealing with me about just really going to the core. What's the root of a lot of the things that we go through in life? What is the root of insecurity? What is the root of fear? What is the root of you know, just even bad thinking? Where is that coming from? I know for me, for some reason, it's weird, but I would think of the negative things before I would even think positive. You know, you got some people that are just like my husband. He's I would say that he's a pretty overall positive person. And it's interesting, because I never saw myself as being a negative person, because over the years I would read stuff like Think and Grow Rich and, you know, different books that, and really, when I think back, it really helped me with sales. Because sales is, you got to overcome some obstacles. And so I prize myself of being able to overcome a lot. And you know, sir, you're in sales. So, you know, a lot of times you have to overcome all these obstacles. You know, the obstacle of, you know, I don't have enough money. The obstacle of, well, I don't know if this is going to work because I tried that last time. There's so many obstacles. And you got to be able to take those objections and rise above it. So for the most part, I thought I was a pretty positive person until I met this man. And he actually showed me how negative I really was. Like, and honestly, I used to wonder, well, where is this coming from? Why is it that I would always think of the worst case scenario first? I was like, who does that? And you don't think about it because you go through life like that and you think it's a normal thing. And here's the scariest part about it. And I don't want to say scary, but that was negative to even say that. But the interesting piece about that is, if you flow in the gifts of the Spirit, or you flow prophetically, or you flow in a gift of discernment, well, it almost like validates whatever it was that you believed in that was going to happen. Like, you already foresaw it, you know. And so you can get mixed up with flowing in the Holy Ghost and flowing with your own stinking thinking, you know what I'm saying? And so the Lord has really been really getting on me about, you know, the negative thinking. Where is that coming from? You know, I wasn't born with negative thinking. You know, and so I had to think about that. Where is this negative thinking coming from? And so a lot of people are experiencing things, and the Lord really wanted us to get a chance to see where is the root of it coming from. And I've talked about people that deal with pride. You know, some people, they feel like, well, there's not a pride bone in my body. You know, I don't want people to know I did this, or I don't want people to, you know, I don't stand up there and say I did this. You know, they look at pride as being that way, but pride comes in so many subtle ways that, like, a person's, get this, and I think he shared this, is probably where I got this from, but a person that feels like, oh, I'm behind the scenes. I'm just, you know, I don't need to be seen. I don't need to exert myself. I don't need to. That's a form of pride. Like, I was like, wow, I didn't even ever look at it that way. And so the Lord has just been really, really drilling me with this message about matters of the heart and how we really have to check ourselves. You know, Deuteronomy, and let's go there, Deuteronomy 8:2. Pastor has been taking us through a litany of, well, we talked about different tests, but in particular, we're talking about the wilderness. Deuteronomy 8, verse 2. It says, And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou would have keep his commandments or not, basically. And so here we see that was one of the purposes of us going through the wilderness. And some people have been in the wilderness for quite some time. I mean, you know, I think about the children of Israel was in the wilderness for 40 days. And it was only an 11-day journey. Well, some of us have been in the wilderness more than 40 years. Some of us have been in there more than 40 years, and it may have been just a choice away. Not days, a choice away. And so, but anyway, so that's basically, God really wants us to know what's in our heart, and that's the reason why he had allowed us to go through the wilderness, one, so that he can humble us, and then also for us to see what was in our heart, because we actually think that we're getting away from really the root of who we are. Let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 16. 1 Samuel chapter 16. So basically, I'm going to just kind of give you a backdrop here, but this is the account where God rejects Saul from reigning over Israel, and he sent Samuel to Jesse to find the next king, for he was amongst actually Jesse's sons. And so let's drop down to verse 6. It says, and it came to pass when they were come that he looked on, and I'm not probably pronouncing these correctly, but I shouldn't say that because that's a name, so I should at least try to attempt. Eliab. Yeah, there you go. And said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. He said, surely the Lord's anointing is before him. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. And then I want to go ahead and continue to read on, but, well, let me see. I had something else I wanted to bring out in that whole thing. So let me keep reading. Go to verse 8. And so then Jesse called another son. His name is Abinadab. Yeah. And made him pass before Samuel. And he said, neither hath the Lord chosen this. And then Jesse made Shamma to pass by. And he said, neither hath the Lord chosen this. And then let's drop over to verse 12. And he asked him at that point, he said, is there somebody else? Maybe you're overlooking somebody. He said, and he sent and brought him in, talking about David now. Now he was ruddy and withal of a beautiful countenance and godly to look on. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. So interesting enough, you know, on the outward appearance, maybe Jesse was thinking, oh, well, certainly these sons could do. But God looks at the heart is where we found out. He doesn't look at just the outward appearance. And sometimes we can get stuck on the outward appearance. But the outward appearance, you can look, I put this down here. You can actually talk right, act right even. Let me see here. Well, I'm getting ahead of myself, so I won't go there. But you basically can act the part, but if your heart is far from your situation, then it's just it's you're acting. You know, people can act holy. People can, you know, act like they talk. They know what they're talking about. You know, and so anyway. But let's go to Matthew 12:33. All right, it says, either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt, for the tree is known by his fruit. O generations of vipers, oh my God, God's calling, yeah, I'm calling people snakes here. He says, how can you, being evil, speak good things, but out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks? A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasures of bringeth forth evil things. And so, you know, here we see, and I wanted to read it out of the New Living Translation. It says, a tree is identified by its fruit. If a tree is good, its fruit will be good. If a tree is bad, its fruit will be bad. You brood of snakes. How could evil men like you speak what is good and right? For whatever is in your heart demonstrates, or determines rather, what you say. A good man produces good things from the treasury of a good heart, and an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. And so, you know, here Matthew's is really giving us a picture of how we can really inspect what's in the person's heart. Even if it's good, it's going to, if it's a good tree or a good fruit or a good tree, it's going to be good fruit. It's a corresponding action as a result of that that tree. And so, you know, our actions and reactions are affected by what's in our heart. If the heart is good, our actions are going to be good. Let's go to Luke 6:45. Okay, it says, a good man out of the treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For, now this is key, for of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaks. So we see here that how whatever we're saying in our mouth is really an indication where our heart really is. So that's important to realize that, because if you really catch yourself, and if you find yourself in a pattern of negativity and things like that, that is coming from your heart. It really is coming from your heart. And like some people have reoccurring experiences in their life, and they really don't really know what the root is coming. So for instance, like when I was growing up, I put myself in situations where it was a very abusive relationship. And so I would go from one relationship into another abusive relationship. And then it was like, okay, after a while, it was like, do I have "beat me" written on my head? And I realized that it wasn't the people, I was taking me. So if I had went to another state, you know, another country, the thing is, I was taking me. And so I was the one who didn't feel like I was worthy of love. I was the one that didn't think that maybe I could even have love, like it was even possible for me to have a good, healthy relationship. It came from in my heart. That was in my heart, and I was living out of that. The scripture says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so I was speaking negativity. I was speaking always, I don't know if I'll ever have somebody that's going to treat me right. I mean, you know what I'm saying? I was speaking those things that were actually in my heart. And so I realized that, you know, I was looking for love in all the wrong places, yes, but I was looking for love, and I didn't accept God's love for me first. Because had I accepted God's love for me first and I knew the value of who I was and who he was, number one, and who I was in him, I wouldn't have put up with a lot of that stuff. Some of that stuff, in hindsight, when I look back, I'm like, what in the world was I thinking? Because you know how you're in a relationship and someone does something stupid and you overlook it? It's like, you don't even say nothing. You just overlook it. And it'd be major. It'd be a major thing, and you'd be like going through, doo, 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 I didn't see that, I didn't see that. Yes, you did, and you should have said something. And I was doing that a lot. And before you know it, you know, the person took full advantage of me. I remember being in situations where, you know, a person, I meet somebody, and the person introduces me to someone that they knew or whatever. And now, mind you, I never sat down and talked to the person like, hey, you know, moving forward, we're going to do this. The person would introduce me as, this is my woman. And I said to myself, we ain't had no conversation of that. But I never challenged it. And before I knew it, guess what? I was his woman. I'm like, how did that happen? And so, but a lot of times it was coming from the heart. I didn't have enough courage to stand up for myself and say, wait a minute, that ain't right. Instead, I was very passive, and I allowed people to walk over me. And sometimes we do that. We allow people to walk over us. Why? Because in our heart of hearts, we probably don't even think that we're even worth it. I remember feeling like I wasn't worth a good relationship because I had an already made family. And in my mind, I'm thinking, who would want an already made family? And so as a result of that thinking, that stinking thinking, well, then guess what? You're going to just accept anybody. You know what I'm saying? Because you're thinking, well, dang, at least I'm good. Somebody wants me. You know what I'm saying? At least somebody wants me. And you don't want just anybody to want you. You want the right one to want you. So I could have saved myself a whole lot of pain if I had have really got a chance to see my heart, what was in my heart. And at the time, it just wasn't right. I gave you Psalms 23:7. Let's just go there because I think it's important to read God's word. Psalms 23:7. Proverbs. Sorry about that. All right, it says, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." I want to stop there because that's the meat of what we can go ahead and read the remaining part. It says, "Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee." So as a man thinketh in his heart, so how you think about yourself and your situation in your heart, how you think even about the people around you in your heart, what is your heart of heart telling you about your children? what is, you know, especially if you got someone who is unsaved or someone who maybe is learning how to become an adult, you know, finding their way in life, you know, what are you really saying about them in your heart of hearts? Because we say, oh, I'm believing God for my kids, you know, and then they do something stupid to validate what you're believing that they would change. And then, but in your heart of hearts, are you really believing that it's possible for them? Are you really believing that they'll be successful in life and that they, you know, this too will pass? You know, we all were foolish at times. I mean, I know we were foolish and I was foolish for years, you know, and yet, you know, I mean, who am I to think that God, that person's foolishness is bigger than God? Who am I to think that? Who am I to think that God can't change the person? We got to watch where that's coming from. It's coming from a place where there's some doubt, there's some fears, and there's some insecurities as it relates to how big we see God at times about that situation. So, but in my heart, I believed that I wasn't worthy to be loved. Here's another thing. Rejection can make you feel unworthy. Rejection can make you feel unworthy, and if it's not processed correctly or challenged, you can think, or you can have it, can the rejection can actually have you thinking of questions like, how come I wasn't worth fighting for? How come I wasn't worth protecting? How come I wasn't worth keeping? How come I wasn't worth loving? How come I wasn't enough for you to change? How come, you know, or what's wrong with me? See, rejection can have you thinking of those questions and internalizing things that really it was beyond your, beyond you. So, you know, sometimes people have issues with themselves personally, and it has nothing to do with us. But if you don't handle the rejection properly, you can literally be thinking that something is wrong with you. You know, I used to think the same thing. I mean, even if it's your parents, you know, because you have certain expectations for your parents, and if they drop the ball, then you ask these questions. Wasn't I worth fighting for? You know, I think about that. Wasn't I worth protecting? I'm your daughter. Why didn't you protect me? So we got to handle the rejection. See, that rejection, y'all, can get so rooted in our heart that it manifests in so many ways. And that spirit of rejection is a beast. It could be a beast. And it can get in your heart, and it can cause a lot of issues for you. And so, but again, you know, some people, it could be a lack of knowledge, the reason why the person rejected you. But the truth of the matter is, you're worth everything to God. You are worth everything to God. So if that's you and you feel that way, you are worth everything to God. That never changes no matter what. Psalms 94:14 talks about, for the Lord will not reject his people. He will never forsake his inheritance. So we got to embrace that. That's the reality. That is the truth. So let's just talk about, or get to the heart of the matter. Our heart has been driving us to destinations that we don't want it to go. And it's been keeping us from the plan and purpose of God. So, you know, we actually have reasons why we do what we do, and most of the time it's coming from our heart. Things that come from the heart. Let's talk a little bit about that. One thing that comes from our heart is our thoughts. And we talked a little bit about that. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Things that we think about comes from our heart. Let's go to Matthew 15, verse 19. But things come from our heart, as I said. So Matthew 15:19 says, let's go to 18. It says, but those things which proceed out of the mouth comes forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with an unclean washing hands defileth not man. So basically it's saying these things actually, it says, verse 19, for out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts. So we see thoughts actually come from the heart. Let's go to Matthew 9:4. And this is Jesus talking, and he said, knowing their thoughts, said, wherefore think you evil in your hearts? And so we see here where thoughts, our thoughts actually come from our heart. The other thing that comes from our heart is what we believe, what we believe. Let's go to Mark 11:23. It says, for verily I say unto you, that whatsoever or whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be cast into the sea, and listen at this, and shall not doubt in his heart, doesn't say his mind, it says does not doubt in his mind, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. And so we see here also that belief is, you know, is what comes from the heart. Let's go to Romans 10. And we'll start at verse 8. It says, but what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth, and what? In thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that's saying something, right? It's saying, shall believe in thine heart that God have raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. It says, verse 10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So even accepting Jesus as our Lord and Savior, it requires and needs our what we say with our mouth and what we believe in our heart. And so belief has to come from the heart. You know, let's go to I'm going to give you a good example of some people. Now, here's interesting. This is interesting. There are some people that have accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. They said it with their mouth, but in their heart, it was far from them. Now, let's go to the account in Acts. I believe it's Acts. Let's go to Acts, I believe it's chapter 8. We're going to start at verse 13. And so this is, it says, then Simon himself believed also. So basically, let me give you a backdrop here. Basically, Jesus was going around healing folk and doing all different types of things. And Simon actually was a, he did sorcery, and, you know, he bewitched the people with, you know, different palm reading, or I say palm reading, but he was, yeah, he just was, what do you call that? It is cultic, but it's sorcery. Yeah, sorcery. So he was really involved in that heavily. But drop down to verse 13. And Simon himself believed also, and when he was baptized, now here we see Simon believed, it says here, he believed and was baptized. He continued with Philip and wondered. Now, it just said that he believed, right? Now we get into wondered, beholding the miracles and the signs which were done. So verse 18, and when Simon saw that through laying on the hands of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, I may receive the Holy Ghost. Or he may receive the Holy Ghost. Verse 20. But Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought, there's that word, thought, that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart, listen at this, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God if perhaps the thought of thine heart will be forgiven. See, so he may have believed, but it wasn't in his heart. Because if he had believed, then he wouldn't have been trying to take what was really the Holy Spirit and the gifts and all of that and prostitute it by asking to pay for it so that he can operate in that versus the sorcery thing, if that makes sense. So I thought, to me, that was a pretty good. So basically, because to me it was like Simon just basically went through the motions. You see what I mean? He just went through the motions. He didn't really attach his heart to it. Because the thing about it, when you have a true conversion, your heart changes. That's the tell sign of true conversion, your heart. Now, I'm not saying you're going to be perfect. A good example of that, David. David, I was studying this out, I was like, okay, God, help me to understand this. David, okay. First, he committed adultery with Bathsheba, right? Then, to make what matters worse, she becomes pregnant. Then he sends her husband to battle and basically gets him murdered. Then he turns around and he marries her. Who does that? And I'm thinking, how can he be a man after God's own heart? And he did all these horrible things. Adultery, he lied. I mean, you know, he ended up he murdered. I mean, what else could he have done? But the scripture went on to say that he's after his own heart. Like the Lord saw him after his own heart. And so then I started to think. I said, okay, so let me break this down. So we know that he had to deal with some consequences as a result of him, you know, sleeping with Bathsheba and having the baby. And we read that the baby actually died. And so that was a huge consequences. But the thing about David is he acknowledged what he did. That was the first thing. He acknowledged what he did. He accepted the responsibility of the consequences. And then he prayed the perfect prayer to me, I think, Lord, create in me a clean heart, renew in me a right spirit. I mean, because he knew that the wickedness that was coming from him, I don't think David really, maybe he didn't really understand all the things that he did. He was just caught up in his flesh. I don't know. But his heart was right because he tried to make it right with God. And sometimes people will run or they'll excuse or they'll have excuses why they do what they do. So anyway, I don't know. That just came to me. I was like, wow, that's very interesting that God would say he is a man after his own heart. And so the other thing I want to talk about is, okay, so we already talked about the things that come from our heart is our thoughts, also what we believe, and what is your heart of hearts telling you about God? So we're still on belief. What is your heart of heart telling you about God? Is your belief based on what man says about him? Is it based on the books that you've read about him instead of the book? Is it based on your experience from God? But I've seen a lot of people fall because of a man or a woman of God. And to me, that's saying something. That's really saying something about in their heart of hearts, what do they really believe about God? Because if you believe like God is almighty and God is all-knowing and God is omnipotent and God is omnipresence, you know, if you believe in that he's the creator of the universe, if you believe that he loves you, if you believe all these things, no matter what a man or woman does, that doesn't shake your foundation. But what I'm learning is a lot of times it's shaking people's foundation. of their belief. It is a shaking their foundation, and that ought not to be. That really is a gauge. If someone can get you to backslide, notice I said someone, not God, someone gets you to backslide, what is your belief rooted and grounded in? What is it really rooted and grounded in? You have to ask yourself, or the people that you know that are doing those kind of things, where is that coming from? And then the third thing is the things what the heart tells us, well, not what the heart says, but the third thing is the things that we say with our mouth. The things we say with our mouth. Let's go to Matthew's 15:18. These are things that come from the heart. We talked about our thoughts come from the heart. We talked about our belief comes from the heart. And then the last thing is what we say actually comes from the heart. And let me get over there because I'm trying to toggle with this computer and mic and everything else here. So Matthew's 15:18. 15:18. It says, but those things which proceed out of the mouth comes forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders. We read that before, but I wanted you to see that the things that come out of our mouth actually comes from our heart. So our heart can be affected by what we think, believe, and say. The Bible tells us to guard our heart. In Proverbs 4:23, we talked about that. The New Living Translation actually says, for out of it determines the course of our life. Well, let's just go there. Did we go there to Proverbs 23? We went there, didn't we? Let's go there. Proverbs 4:23. It says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And another version, actually, in the New Living Translation, it actually says, for out of it determines the course of your life. So, you know, our hearts, we've got to guard it with all diligence. The message, I love this, what it says. It says, keep vigilant watch over your heart. That's where life starts. It says, don't talk out of both sides of your mouth, avoiding careless banter, white lies, and gossip. Keep your eyes straight ahead. Ignore all sideshow distractions. Watch your step, and the road will stretch out. And the road will stretch out smooth before you. Look neither to the left or to the right or left. Leave evil in the dust. So it was saying, guard your heart. And as I was thinking through that, guard your heart, I was thinking about the Army. They talked about, were you in the Army? Oh, was you in the Army? Was you in the Army? No? Okay. But they talk about closing rank. And so, Pastor, can I have you come up here for a minute? I just want to just kind of look at this as an illustration here. okay, so it says guard your heart with all diligence, because what we're learning is we are living out of our heart, basically, y'all. The things that's going around us, if we think that we're broke, that's coming from our heart. If we think that we're going to always stay maybe in a state of lack, that's coming from our heart. If we think that we're going to be in bad health, that's actually coming from our heart. And so the scripture says, guard it with all diligence. It didn't say some diligence. It says all diligence. So I wish I had more people, because I need more people to even make this look right. But anyway, step back just a bit, if you could. Okay, so if this is my heart, and I know that this is precious to me, because out of this heart right here is determining the course of my life. Now, if I want my life to be flowing with milk and honey, and you know, I want it to be flowing with what the word says, I have to guard it for a reason, because something is trying to take my life. And it's in those issues of life or the course of my life. And so the scripture talks about guarding your heart. So I can't just look, when you think about guarding, you're closing ranks. If there was people, sorry, if there were people around, you know, that I because I wanted to be a visual where you could really see this thing, you're not going to leave any gaps open. You're going to close ranks. That's what they, when they talk in the military or maybe the police people, they close ranks because they, you know, there you go. Nothing can get in there. And so we got to do that and be diligent with our heart in that same way. So, because the heart is actually trying to get infiltrated. The heart is actually trying, the enemy is trying to steal the heart. The enemy, yeah, what did I say? The heart trying to infiltrate? Yeah, the enemy's trying to infiltrate the heart. And so we got to guard it with all diligence. So it's like you got to, every time when the heart is, every time when the heart is receiving outside information, lies that the enemy really wants us to believe, the heart has, we have to actually guard it, our heart. We can't, no, in the name of Jesus, we don't receive that. And, you know, you're guarding against it because you don't want it to penetrate your heart. Because, again, you want to live a good life. You don't want to live a heart that is, because remember, we talked about all the stuff, the negative things that the enemy's trying to get to us. He's coming through the heart because he wants the root of you to accept the lies. See, the head can reject it. But the head, well, you talked about mental assent one time. We can mentally assent that, oh, no, that's not right. But in your heart of hearts, you know, do you really believe? And so what he's trying to do is he's trying to get your heart. You know, in your heart, there's wisdom. Did you know that there's treasures in your heart? And so he's trying to get your heart. So we got to guard it with all diligence, not some, meaning, you know, well, I'll guard it with stinking thinking, but then I don't guard it maybe with, I don't know, maybe, yeah, what'd I say? Oh, no, regard it from, in the name of Jesus, we rebuke that. But no, but you understand what I'm saying? You gotta look at what's trying to come in and challenge that thing so that it won't enter into your heart. And that's key. A lot of times we're not challenging stuff. We let stuff come in and we might as well just, look, I'm not guarding anything. Just go have at it. We just do that. And God is getting us to actually guard our heart, or wanting us to guard our heart. I guess I need to probably keep going. Okay. Yes, sir. You can be released. Well, come back here. Come back here. Let me just say this. Okay. So my husband is very precious to me, and this is the way you got to look at your heart. It's very precious to you. So if someone was coming at my husband, and it was within me to fight for that, guess what? I'm a fight. If he was my child, let's just say he was my child. Most of us can go there and really be like, especially a woman would be like, I'm going to fight for my child, for my baby. That's my baby, you know. And she'll do whatever to fight. That's the type of fight that he's looking for when it says guard your heart. That's the kind of fight. So as a parent would their child, as a husband would their wife, you got to fight like that. Okay. Let's go to, I told you about what David said in Psalms. That was Psalms 51:10. I didn't tell you what scripture that was coming from, but it's Psalms 51:10 when he talked about creating me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right or steadfast spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence and take not the Holy Spirit from me. So let's talk about the conclusion of the matter, just to wrap things up here. So what should we do? One of the things we should do is fear God. believe it or not, we need to fear God. A lot of people aren't fearing God as like they should. And when we fear God, it's the beginning of wisdom. That's what the scripture actually says in Proverbs 9 and verse 10. I'm going to give you these scriptures, and you can study it out on your own. But Proverbs 9:10, Proverbs 1:7, Psalms 111, or 111 verse 10, and Job 28:28. So we gotta fear God, because if you fear God, then you just won't do anything. You just won't allow anything when you fear God. You know, I just sometimes question if people really do fear God. You know, do we really fear God? Like when you tell a lie, you know, do you fear that? Well, Proverbs does say that he sees the good and the evil. Maybe he heard that. I mean, do you even think, you know, when you do certain things, does a person think if they look at a woman with lust in their heart, do they even fear God? Not, I got caught by my wife or I got caught by my husband, but do you fear that you got caught by God? You understand what I'm saying? Because he sees, remember we talked about in 1 Samuel, he sees the heart of man, not the countenance, the outward appearance. He sees the whole picture. So are we really fearing God? The other thing is we got to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. That's coming out of Romans 12:1. Romans 12:1. Let's go there, Romans 12:1. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, meaning that's the least you can do. And be not conformed or fashion yourself to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And so we gotta make sure that we are presenting our bodies as a living sacrifice, you know, holy and acceptable unto Him. I mean, how is our living? You know, are we really, really presenting ourselves as that living sacrifice? I'm gonna give you a couple of more scriptures for you to look up on your own. But 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20, and then also 1 Corinthians 3:16. 1 Corinthians 3:16. It's God's desire for us to live always directed by the born-again nature, which is in harmony with the Holy Spirit, not by the fallen nature, which really wants to actually rule us. The fallen nature is always trying to rule us. Romans 7:24 poses a question that every dedicated believer or follower of Christ asks, like, who will deliver me from this body of death? You know how many people think that? I know I have. But verse 25 answers that question. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. When we surrender the inner man to the control of the Holy Spirit, we walk victorious over our fallen flesh. So we got the scripture says in Galatians, walk in the spirit and we won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. So we got to make sure that we're presenting our bodies as a living sacrifice. The other thing is we got to obey God. Simply just obey God. I mean, that's the whole wilderness thing is about. Is just, are we going to obey his commandments? Are we going to follow what it is that he desires for us to follow? Some people walk around and they'd be like, I want to know what the will of God is. Well, It basically Ecclesiastics 12, let's go there, let's read Ecclesiastic chapter 12, 13. Listen at this. It says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. Listen, for this is the whole duty of man. It says, for God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or evil. So, but look, he says, it's the whole duty of man, fearing God. or obeying God. But that's the whole duty. I mean, he just summed it up right there. That's the whole duty. Obey God. Let's go to Deuteronomy 10:12. It says, "And now, Israel, what doeth the Lord thy God require thee, but to fear the Lord thy God, and walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord with all thy heart and with all thy soul." So here we see it again, that he's saying, fear the Lord, and obey him, basically. And then the other thing is, guard your heart, as we talked about, with all diligence. We talked about that. I gave you an analogy so you can kind of really start challenging these thoughts, and challenging what you say, and challenging what you believe, so that you can use that to guard your heart. That's what's going to help you to guard, because it's coming. Remember, we talked about your belief comes from your heart, your thoughts come from your heart, and what you say is coming from your heart. So those three areas you got to guard. You got to make sure that you're not, the enemy's not trying to infiltrate your heart by those accesses through your heart, or through your belief, or your heart rather, or your belief through your thought or what you say. Remain humble and contrite. Contrite, that word basically means being remorseful or sorrowful. In Isaiah 57:15, it talks about God actually reviving. Let's go there. God reviving our heart. 57:15. Okay, it says, "For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, and to revive the heart of the contrite one," or the one that actually has a sorrowful or remorseful heart. So that's good news right there. God actually wants to revive the heart and revive the spirit. And then the last thing I wanted to say is the scripture in John 14:1. Let's go there. But basically, don't let your heart be troubled. John 14:1. It says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me." So you can determine when it says "let," that's saying that we have a choice. We have the ability to not let. When it says "let," that's like a command. He's telling you, let not your heart be troubled. Don't let it be troubled about anything, really, because it says what? You believe in God, believe also in me, is what Jesus was saying in this verse here. So we can determine if we let our heart be troubled. Remember, we talked about belief. It's that belief. What are you? We going to believe God or we ain't? That's just the bottom line. I mean, it's really, you know, those three things: our thoughts, what we say, and what we believe is what really dictates how we live out in our hearts. That's so key that we get that. And I think, let's see what else I have here. The other thing is let God's peace rule in your heart. Colossians 3:15, let God's peace rule in your heart. And it says, and let, and here's another command, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you shall be called in one body, and be thankful. Philippians 4:7 says, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, what? Shall keep your hearts and your mind through Christ Jesus. So we see, you know, that we need to allow God's peace to rule. God's peace can only rule when what? We believe. God bless you. that's when his peace actually really rules and reigns, when we believe. So we can't just go by lip service. There's a scripture that talks about you honor me with your lips, but your heart is far from me. You know, people honor, you know, with their lips, but their heart is just so far from him. And so he said, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. And then one chapter was talking about, depart from me, I don't know you. Because, you know, you go and you say, well, I healed the sick. I did all these things in your name. And then he said, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. So, you know, we got to, God is looking for truth. He is looking for truth. And we have to live out that truth. We really do. And the truth comes from your heart. What are the truth of the matter is, what are you really believing? What are you really saying? What are you really thinking? All of that is coming from your heart. And so we got to guard it with all diligence. We got to make sure that we protect it against the enemy, because he's really trying to cause us to not see. If he could get in our mind, which causes us to say the wrong things, and then causes us to believe the wrong things, well, then we can never access or enter or participate in God's kingdom, because that's what it's all about. God wants us to participate and to embrace the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God? God's way of doing things. But if we don't believe it, then that's half the battle right there, is believing. There is a kingdom. You know what I mean? Some people don't believe there's a kingdom of God. There's God's way of doing things. God's way of doing things as it relates to our finances. God's way of doing things as it relates to relationships. God's way of doing things as it relates to anything that pertains to our life. It has to be, we should be seeking first the kingdom of God, his way of doing things. And when we don't guard our heart, it keeps us from living and really getting the rewards that the kingdom of God offers. So that's it.